Hello and welcome to Zing Talk, where Ben Zinga brings you the biggest names and brightest minds from Silicon Valley to New York City. Today our guest is Matt Shiffrin, Vice President and Investment Editor for Forbes and the author of the newly released book, The Warren Buffett's Next Door, The World's Greatest Investors You've Never Heard Of and What You Can Learn From Them. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Could you start off by telling us a little about yourself and how you got your start in the financial world?
As you mentioned, I am the investing editor of Forbes Media, which includes the magazine and the website. I started at Forbes directly out of college. I went to Cornell. I was an economics major, and I did an internship at a place called Financial News Network, which is now called CNBC. I met some people who knew some other people, and I went in to Forbes, and I got a job as a fact checker. So I started out as a fact checker at Forbes and kind of worked my way up the masthead of Forbes as, you know, as a reporter and a writer and then as an editor, mostly focusing on financial topics and investing. And then in about 1999, I created an offshoot publication for Forbes called Forbes Best of the Web, which reviewed thousands of websites and basically came up with a list of what we consider to be Forbes favorites and best of the websites. And a lot of those sites were financial and investing sites, and one of the sites I came across that I really liked was a site called Marketocracy.com. And they had a proposition that if they'll give you $1 million of virtual money and they want you to run a portfolio and they would hold you to the same standards as a real mutual fund manager, and their proposition was that if you do really well, we'll raise real money for you to manage. And when I first saw that in 2000, I was intrigued. I wrote an article, Will the Web Produce the Next Warren Buffett? And 10 years later, Marketocracy as well as some other websites has helped me identify some amazing individual investors who have performance track records on their real money that beat most professional investors. I mean, we're talking about 30% on average per year and more for some of these investors. And what my book is, it's profiles of 10 of these great individual investors, these great self-directed investors.
And I want to dive right into that book. What sparked the idea for it? I mean, why did you decide that you wanted to call attention to these lesser-known investors out there?
I think because many of us are told, you know what, you leave the money management to the pros. The pros are the best qualified, the financial advisors and the pros are the best qualified to manage your money. When, I know from working at Forbes for the last 26 years that's not necessarily true. If you look at any of the stats, most professional money managers don't outperform the indexes. And I've met with so many financial advisors who want you to believe that you need them to manage your money, when the truth is good investing and smart investing is not rocket science. And I think if individual investors take more time, if you put the time in to learn to be a better investor, you can do it. And I think that right now we live in an age where you have all the tools you need to become a much better investor. I mean, many of the tools, Benzinga.com itself offers a lot of these tools and news. And so all the tools you need to be a great investor are available to you, but most people, they feel like, they'll never be qualified to be a better investor. And I think that, nowadays, most of us have 401ks, so essentially our companies and the government are saying to us, it's your money, you manage it, and we hope you make it to retirement. And so we owe it to ourselves to invest some time and effort into our own capital, as opposed to just kind of handing the keys over to someone else who, is going to secure your financial future. And so that's kind of what my book is about. It's about 10 people who've said, I'm going to learn to be a better investor, and they've done it. And so my book offers lessons from each one of these different investors about how how they became really good at picking stocks and managing their own portfolio, and hopefully I've offered some lessons to investors on how they can do it as well.
And this growing class of investors are not only earning enormous gains in this turbulent time, but they've fell into investing from fairly average backgrounds rather than the typical prestigious Ivy League school or Wall Street bank. What do you think has contributed to this the rise of this new type of investor? Is it the financial crisis that people have lost faith in their advisors? Is it the development of easier ways to trade? What do you think has brought that on?
You're absolutely right, Alex. I think that it's a lot of the things you mentioned. The financial crisis has woken people up. I mean, when you sit there in a year and see your great professional investor, when you see your nest egg drop by 45%, and you know, for anyone who started investing 10 years ago in a mere index like the S&P 500, your money's gone nowhere. Now, I think I read an alarming stat that was put out by Financial Engines that said that, you know, the vast majority of people in their 40s and 50s have little hope of actually having enough capital and income to live as well as they do in their working life as in retirement. So basically, many of us are not going to have enough money in our 401ks to provide for a comfortable retirement. So I think that's one factor that has gotten people to start investing, you know, on their own. I think the other very obvious factor is what's going on the web. There's an explosion of websites and web tools that you can use to be a great and or you know, a good investor. So, for example, like Warren Buffett and a lot of other great value investors will read annual reports or SEC documents. I mean, it takes a few clicks from numerous websites, and you can be looking at company financials. You can listen to company conference calls. News is at your fingertips. Financial stats are at your fingertips, and you know, best of all, investor education is right there as well. So, I think that has contributed to it. And certainly the rock bottom commission rates, I mean, it's not expensive to invest on your own anymore. And you're absolutely right that a lot of the, you know, the guys in my book, you know, one guy was a former truck driver. When he was at a rest stop, he would use his Wi-Fi card and his laptop to do stock research, you know, while he was on the road. There's a few engineers, civil engineers, who are in my book. In their spare time, they've become great value investors or great options investors. And so you really don't need an MBA. I mean, I don't think, well, a few of the guys do have MBAs, but you know, you definitely do not need an MBA or a CFA or any other fancy designation to be a really good investor.
Why do you think it is that this new type of investor is beating the market and the smart money on the street in such enormous ways? I mean, you would think that it would be the other way around, that the institutional players would be the ones that are achieving such great success. But this book has shown that there's people out there that are achieving 30% without that type of background. Is it a different approach?
Well, first of all, I think that there definitely are institutional investors who have outstanding investment returns. You know, we've heard about some of the great hedge fund guys, but I think the vast majority of professional money managers out there, you know, they're hired without any real proof that they're good at investing. Most of them, you know, they have great degrees, they went to great colleges, they come right out of school and they get a job with, you know, Fidelity or one of these other big mutual fund managers, and then next thing you know, they're managing huge portfolios. And as you probably know, you know, there's a lot of emphasis on diversification, and so many times investors will diversify away their returns. I think, you know, even Warren Buffett his quote was, diversification is protection against ignorance. It makes little sense for those who know what they are doing. So a lot of the people in my book who are outstanding investors, once they become convinced that a stock is deeply undervalued and that they're right, they will invest a lot of capital in that stock, and they will have high returns on an individual stock or a group of stocks. And this is really very similar to what a lot of the smartest hedge fund guys do. They don't just run with broadly diversified portfolios. Oftentimes they will have a diversified portion of their portfolio, but also when they find an investment that they really like, they really commit to it. And so you see some of that in my book, you know, and I don't mean to kind of indict all professional investors. There are great professional investors out there, and a lot of us know who they are. But what I'm saying is that there's no reason why you can't become an outstanding investor on your own. You know, you don't necessarily need to make 30% on average per year to be a really good investor. I mean, these days, if you can bring in 15% a year, I mean, that's pretty damn good. Most of the professionals will tell you that you should expect 6% average annual return from stock for the foreseeable future. For a lot of us, that's just not going to cut it.
Now, do you think this trend will continue? Are institutional players on Wall Street going to be superseded by these newly empowered average Joe investors?
I do think that Wall Street should take note that you don't necessarily need that individual investors more than ever have the opportunity to take control of their own portfolios. You know, you already see that happening with commission rates coming down, account minimums are coming down. you know, there's always going to be a portion of the population that needs financial advice because, let's face it, most of us are very busy. But, you know, I do believe there's going to be an increasing number of people who say, you know what, I'm going to commit a few hours a week or, I mean, in the case of my book, most of these guys will commit a few hours, you know, at least 3 hours a day to their portfolios. But, you know, you can improve your investing skill with just a few hours a week committed to your portfolio. Right now, most of us, I think, you know, probably think about our stock portfolio, you know, once a month, once a quarter. I think things are changing because our information and tools are so readily available to us.
Now, I would imagine that going out and finding these people must have been an enormous challenge while gathering information for the book. I mean, your stated goal was to find the great investors that no one has heard of. How were you able to identify these people?
Well, as I mentioned before, there are some that I knew were good because of the verifiable track records that I had identified on websites like valueforum.com and marketocracy.com, where I could easily kind of see who was superior in terms of returns. And then once you know, they passed that screen, I would interview them to find out if they really were someone who I thought the rest of, you know, kind of the investing audience, the world, could learn from. And that's how I ended up choosing these guys, because really, I mean, I only chose 10 outstanding investors. There are many more outstanding individual investors out there that are not in my book. In fact, I mean, if you look at some of the stats, 10 years ago when I was looking at this, there were about 5 million online investors. Now the number is much closer to 50 million. So just those years and the kind of the law of you know, averages would tell you that there's going to be more people who have become much better at investing. And a lot of it's thanks to the web. The web has been transformative in this area.
You've been listening to part one of ZingTalk's exclusive podcast interview with Matt Shiffrin, Vice President and Investment Editor for Forbes, and also the author of The Warren Buffett's Next Door. Be sure to subscribe to ZingTalk in iTunes. You can find a link to do that on the Benzinga homepage. The music that you're listening to is Beethoven Virus by Banya and is available on the Internet Archive. All Benzinga podcasts are released under Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.5 license, and all other rights are reserved.